Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Before you have the section that's on the screen, I'm going to read just a few verses from the end of chapter 1. Paul has been talking about the incomparable power of God that is within those who believe.
Amen.
And then he says, you have an example of this power, of exactly how mighty it is in the resurrection of Christ. Yes, the power that raised him from the dead and caused him to be seated in heaven at his Father's right hand is that same power which is within you now.
Yes. Amen.
As a result of this power, now this is the part you've got to get hold of, as a result of this power, Jesus is now reigning far above every other ruler, authority, power, and dominion. He is greater than anyone else could ever be, not only in this present age, but also in the future age that he will inaugurate. God has placed everything under Jesus' feet. He has appointed him to have authority over everything for the sake of the church, which is his body on earth. And he intends the fullness of Christ's life to fill everything in every way,
Amen.
First in the church and then in the new creation.
Come on. Amen.
Now, what we need to understand this morning are some spiritual realities. You've heard me say recently that a lot of Christians don't understand the dynamics of the spiritual realm that exist in the heavenlies and here on earth. Just as God has a whole panoply of different spiritual beings in heaven, so the enemy has set up his counterfeit of authorities, dominions, thrones, powers, and so on. Now, we don't need to get into all the detail of that, except to understand that what is what is happening in the world around us is because of the spirit of the God of this age. There is what Paul calls the spirit of the world. And what we need to understand is how to combat the spirit of the world in our own lives and to help others to be free from any influence of the spirit of this world. And Paul talks about this in chapter 2, and that's what we're going to focus on this morning. So if you'd like to put the text up on the screen. This follows on from the portion that I've just read, and I want to take you through it sort of blow by blow, really. What you are now is in direct contrast to what you used to be. Now, for clarification, over here on this side is the world, and over this side where you are now as part of God's kingdom, still in the world, but not belonging to the world. So what you are now, that you are part of God's kingdom, is in direct contrast to what you were when you belonged to the world. Once you were spiritually dead. So when you belong to the world over here, you were spiritually dead because your lives were full of sin and disobedience to God's word. You might not even have known what his word said, but knowingly or unknowingly, you were living in disobedience to God's word. So where the spirit of the world has his influence, that's the way in which people live. So Paul continues, that is how you used to live when you lived according to the world's standards. Yes. Now over here, the world's standards do not lie. Here in the kingdom, there are the kingdom standards, not the world standards. So, you used to live according to the world standards because, now, this is what you have to believe was true of you. Because you're, that is how you used to live when you lived according to world standards, because you were subject to God's enemy. You see, the one who rules here is the God of this age, is what Paul calls the prince of the air, the spirit of the world. You are under the power and influence of that spirit. You are subject, therefore, to God's enemy. You belong to his negative kingdom of darkness, the dominion of darkness. Now, when he's writing to Colossians, see, Paul says that he has delivered you from the dominion of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Now, he's saying a similar thing here, that you were subject to God's enemy, you belonged to his negative kingdom of darkness, and were controlled by that spirit of the world. Now, look what he says next. That still works in the disobedient. You see, it was when you lived under the power of that spirit that you lived in disobedience to God, because you belong to the world which lives in disobedience to him. And you were brought out of that and into God's kingdom. But what Paul says is that spirit will still operate in people's lives when they're disobedient. You see, it's that spirit that causes people to be disobedient to God's word. Now, people in the world don't understand that there is a spiritual power that is influencing them in that way, because they don't understand these spiritual realities. Are you breathing?
Yeah.
But we who have the Holy Spirit, we have to have our eyes open to the spiritual realities. And what Paul is saying is that that spirit will continue to inspire disobedience wherever he is given the opportunity to do that. Are you breathing? Now, what we don't want is anything of the spirit of the world over here. When you look at the church throughout the world, you see that there is so much disobedience to God's word. Why? Because the spirit of this world has been allowed to invade and influence the church and has not been kept outside of the church. So, you know, you often hear people say there's more of the world in the church than of the church in the world. That's a truism, but it happens to be true. So, what God wants for those who belong to his kingdom, for those who are part of the new creation, is to keep the spirit of this world right out. So he has no influence on us personally, and he has no influence on us corporately. Now, I trust all those of you that missed those talks earlier in the first week of term have by now caught up with them, so that we are united in understanding that we are a holy people, that we are able to live as Jesus did, to walk as Jesus did. The Holy Spirit within us has enabled us to do that. And so we are devoted and dedicated to living and walking as Jesus did. That means we keep the spirit of this world right out of having any influence in our lives, because that is the spirit that leads to disobedience. Are we getting this? Now, verse 3, all of us at one time shared in that ungodly lifestyle. So over here in the world is the ungodly lifestyle. You there? Longing to satisfy our flesh, our self-life. That's how people in the world live, to please themselves, to satisfy themselves. We all sought to gratify our fleshly desires, and sin filled much of our thinking. Just like everybody else, we were subjects of God's anger because of our sinful disposition. Now, God is not pleased about this. God doesn't love all this worldliness. The people that are here are under God's wrath. That's what Paul is saying. They are actually under impending judgment. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, everybody over here would be judged today. But God has tempered his judgment with mercy, giving people the opportunity and time to repent. But what Paul is saying is the disobedient here are under the wrath of God. But because of his great mercy, he doesn't exercise that wrath. Are you there? Okay. All of us at one time shared in that ungodly lifestyle, longing to satisfy our flesh. We all sought to gratify our fleshly desires, and sin filled much of our thinking. You see, your mind, remember what Paul says in Romans about setting your mind upon things below and setting your mind upon things above. What Paul is saying is when you lived over here, sin filled much of your thinking, pleasing yourself, doing what you wanted, fulfilling your desires, your opinions, filled much of your thinking. Just like everybody else, we were subjects of God's anger because of our sinful disposition. Despite all this, because of his great love for us, now, this is his love for those who are under his wrath. Are you understanding? Because of his great love for us, God, who is so rich in mercy, and because he loves us so much, actually brought us to life with Christ. So what he did by his mercy was to take us out of that impending wrath, showed us his mercy, and put us here into Christ and into his kingdom. Are you breathing? Even when we were spiritually dead because of our sins. This is spiritual death over here. This is spiritual life over here. Okay. What a wonderful work of his grace to save us out of the death and darkness of sin, out of the hands of the evil one we once served. Now, you see, the people who live over here are in spiritual darkness. They are in spiritual death. And whether they realize it or not, they are serving the devil. His spirit of worldliness is the one who is controlling their lives. This is why Jesus turned even to those religious people, the Pharisees, and said, "Your father is the devil." Now, you know, you can imagine the reaction of those guys. They thought they were the most spiritual people on the face of the earth. And Jesus turns round to them and says, "Your father is the devil." Why? Because they were tied to worldliness and they rejected the one who could give them life. So all their religion was in vain. Are you there? Now this is what he has done for us. Now he has actually raised us up with Christ and sees us seated with him in heavenly places. Now you see what a contrast that is to where we've come from. Are you breathing? Now, this does not mean our resurrection has taken place. Christ's resurrection has taken place, and we are raised to new life in him. But your resurrection won't take place until you physically die. Right? Paul makes that clear, because some guys were going around saying our resurrection has already happened, and Paul was saying that's heresy. Okay. So now he has actually raised us up with Christ and sees us seated with him in heavenly places because he has placed us in Christ Jesus. Now, you being good Brophy students, you all understand that. He has done this so that in the future we might demonstrate that the riches of his grace are so immense that nothing can be compared with such riches. So we live here to demonstrate to the world how rich the grace of God is. Now you see, what Paul is aiming towards, as you can probably understand, is to say that we can't do that if we live in disobedience and allow the spirit of this world to have any influence in our lives now. How can we address the needs of those who are under the influence of the spirit of this world if we allow that worldliness to influence us ourselves? Are we there? How can that spirit influence now? Well, Paul says through disobedience. Caroline and I spent the weekend. We've hardly had any time off this year so far, and we just went and had 2 or 3 days down in the New Forest, and with the sun and everything, and it being spring with all the spring flowers coming out, it was absolutely beautiful. And God said to me when I was praying on Saturday morning, he said, you can admire the beauty of my creation all around you, but you need to understand that to me, there is something far more beautiful than all the beauty of creation, and that is obedience in the life of my children. Yes. And that was actually a meaningful statement for me, because I was there having a weekend off in obedience. Because I've been overdoing it, and I'm not supposed to do that. And the Lord got through to me by saying, you will worship me by taking time off. Amen. So he knows. He knows how to get through, doesn't he? Eh? Now, that was his word to me, not to you. That was a rhema. It's not a logos, right? So don't come that one, Will. Hallelujah. But you see, to God, the most important thing about his creation is obedience in the lives of his children, who he has made the pinnacle of his creation. So to God, that is the most beautiful thing, when he sees that obedience in the lives of his beloved ones. Hallelujah. So he has actually raised us up with Christ and sees us seated with him in heavenly places, because he has placed us in Christ Jesus. Now, if we are seated with him in heavenly places, and everything over here in this world has been put under his feet, then, of course, everything has also been put under our feet. That we do not have to be subject to any of those negative spirits that are operating in the world.
Come on.
That spirit of the world. If we are going to walk in obedience, then that spirit will not have any influence in our lives whatsoever. So, where are we? Bum, 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 bum. Verse 7. He has done this so that in the future we might demonstrate that the riches of his grace are so immense that nothing can be compared to such riches. All this grace has been shown to us because of his kindness towards us, expressed in all Christ Jesus has done for us. So we're only here because of the grace, because of all that Christ has done for us. We never got ourselves from over there to over here. This is what God did in taking us out of the darkness and bringing us into his kingdom of light. So we're here by his grace. And Paul, when he's writing to the Romans, says, and in that grace we stand every day. Amen. 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 Right, now, verse 8. You see, it is only because of his grace that you have been saved. All you did was to put your faith in his willingness to be merciful and gracious towards you. So you got here by faith in his grace, and the only way to live here is by faith in his grace. That if you trust in his grace, the spirit of the world will not cause disobedience in your life. This is to encourage you. Amen? So if we trust in his grace, we will walk in obedience, not disobedience. And obedience is the word we love. Yeah. Amen. All you did was to put your faith in his willingness to be merciful and gracious towards you. So your salvation is not anything you could possibly have worked out for yourselves. It is completely God's gift to you. You can never boast that you achieved acceptance by God through the works you have performed. Now, no works got us over here except the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But God does have works for us to perform while we're over here. Amen? The truth is that we are the work of God's own hands. See, God himself did this, not some angel, not some spirit. God himself did this, this work of transference. Out of darkness, into light, out of the world, into his kingdom. Amen? Amen? Now, that doesn't mean we detach ourselves from the world. We detached ourselves from worldliness. What we've got to do is to take that life into the world. But we'll come to that in a minute. The truth is that we are the work of God's own hands. Now we live in Christ Jesus. We are able to do the good works that are the evidence of our salvation. So if you are over here, there will be the good works that are the evidence of salvation. Now, people over here can do good works, but they're not the works that are the evidence of salvation. Over here are the good works that you can do because you're a saved person. So there will be a different quality, a different dynamic, a different spirit operating in those good works and through those good works that you perform. Are we there? It is good to know that these are the very works that God planned and prepared for us to accomplish. Now, this is important. The good works you do over here are not the things you choose to do, but the things God has chosen for you to do. Are we there? And sometimes when God chooses for us what we're to do, we don't necessarily want to do those things at first, but because now we're living under the spirit of obedience, the Holy Spirit, we will do those things even if we don't want to do them. Because that is another evidence of our salvation, that we deny ourselves to take up our cross and follow Him, to walk as Jesus did. And how did He walk? Not my will, but yours be done. Are you breathing? Okay. So never forget that you used to be foreigners outside. Oh, now this is brilliant, this next bit. Are you ready? You used to be foreigners outside of God's kingdom because you only had natural birth and were not among those whom God had set aside for Himself by entering into covenant with them. So the reason why God moved you from there to here is so that now He could have you for Himself. Over here you were in rebellion against Him and you were doing whatever you wanted to do with your life. But now He has brought you over here for His purposes, right? He has brought you over here for Himself, for those plans and purposes that He has prepared beforehand for you to walk in. Is this good or is this good? Now that means that He has brought you into covenant with Himself. But it means a lot more than that. Look, the relationship you have with Him now has nothing to do with outward actions such as circumcision, works done by men. You used to be separated from Christ because of your sin. Now look what you were excluded from. You were excluded from having citizenship in Israel, God's chosen people. But now you have citizenship in Israel, His chosen people. You were set apart from Israel, but now you have inheritance. God has grafted you in to the tree of Israel. Those are the roots. So you were outside the covenant relationship with God based on His promises, but now you are part of Israel. You inherit all the promises of God. Jesus is the yes and the amen to all the promises of the old covenant, to all the promises of the new covenant, to all the promises given to Abraham, to David, and to others. You inherit all those promises because now you are part of the Israel of God. Part of the chosen people. You were without hope for the future and had to live your life in the world without God. But now you have hope. And hope is being positive about the future. Amen? And you don't have to live without God. Now you're living in God and God is living in you. It's good just to be reminded of what God has done for us, isn't it? Look at the difference now that you are in Christ Jesus and belong to Him. Instead of living far away from God, you have been united with Him through what Jesus did by shedding His for you. So you're actually made one with Him. That's what atonement means, isn't it? You are at one with God. Don't say hallelujah if you don't want to, but if you're happy about it, it's good. So He is our peace. So over here we have peace with God. Over here there's no peace with God. Because we have been forgiven and accepted by God, we are at peace with Him. So over here we're forgiven, over here we're fully accepted. That's why, you see, Jesus says there's to be no judgment of one another over here, because we've all been forgiven, we've all been accepted, we've all known the mercy of God, and it's been such mercy and such grace, you've got no right to judge anybody else over here. Being under judgment places you back over here, because Jesus says, with the same measure with which you judge, you will yourself be judged. So if you start judging, you place yourself back over here, which is not a clever thing to do. If you don't forgive people, then Jesus said your Father won't forgive you, which sort of places you back over here, spiritually speaking. He doesn't kick you out of the kingdom, but spiritually, you then make yourself vulnerable to the God of this age, who will lead you in disobedience, because you're already being disobedient in judging and not forgiving your brother. Hello? That opens you up spiritually to the spirit of the world. And inevitably, you will then go from one act of disobedience to another, to another, to another, until you repent and get back and get right with God. Are we getting this? So instead of living far away from God, you have been united with him through what Jesus did by shedding his blood for you. So he is our peace. Because we have been forgiven and accepted by God, we are at peace with God. Those who were outside the covenant, the relationship God has made possible for his people, are now made one with those who belong to the covenant. So God has made us one with each other. And we're not to be separated. Amen. He has made these two one, Jew and non-Jew, by destroying the barrier that once divided them, that was like a dividing wall of hostility that existed between them. So over here, it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a non-Jew, you're part of that Israel of God, you're part of the covenants, you inherit everything, all the promises of God, you are united with him, and you are made one with all the others who belong to the covenant. We all breathing. Verse 15, through what he accomplished when he became man, he abolished the whole idea of serving God through a legalistic approach of obeying a series of religious rules and regulations. His intention was to create a new people out of the two opposing groups that existed before. So now there is a new people, a new Israel, that exists of some people from the old Israel and some people from outside of Israel who come together to perform the new Israel of God. Are we getting it? The only way was to make it possible for anyone, no matter what his race, to be at peace with God and to draw them together into one body to reconcile them to one another. He accomplished all this through the cross, which dealt a death blow to their former hostility. So you see, that work on the cross not only ended our enmity, our the way in which we were opposed to God, but it ended the way in which we were opposed to others. Made us one with God, made us one with each other. Amen. Unity isn't something we've got to achieve. Unity is something that God gave us when we were incorporated into Christ. What we've got to do is to maintain that unity, to preserve that unity, to live in that unity. Are you there? Jesus came and preached peace with God to those outside his covenant with Israel, as well as those who were part of that relationship. I can't get into all this today, but I'm going to be speaking about this in the future. You see, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing when he said, I have only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Very briefly, what Jesus knew he had to do was not to break the continuity with the past, but to ensure that that continuity continued. That out of the roots, if you like, out of the roots of Abraham, of David, of Moses, of Isaiah, and all the people in the old covenant, out of those roots comes the new tree, Jesus. Can you understand? And there are branches, a few branches on this new tree, and those were the believing Jews that accepted Jesus as their Messiah. And then onto this tree, God grafts all the Gentiles who also believe, but they've still got their roots in Israel. That's why Paul says when he's writing to the Romans that they're part of this olive tree, but the roots, you see, go right back to Abraham. This is why Matthew begins his gospel with that, going back to the lineage of Jesus, right back to Abraham. He's saying, well, it all starts with Abraham, and all the roots of who Jesus is are there in the old covenant. But now he is emerging with the new covenant. He's grafting all these Gentiles into this new Israel. Then there will come the time when all Israel will be saved, when the veil will be taken away, the Jewish people will be able to understand the gospel, and then many of them will get grafted back into the tree, which is their tree anyway. That's how Paul puts it. So Jesus knew that his mission was to set this in place. And then once the Spirit was poured out and once the gospel was being spread all around the known world, then all around the sort of Mediterranean, then the Gentile nations would be gathered in. Jesus would not have to try to do that. He just had to establish this new covenant that emerges out of the old. So the old is now done. Here's the new. And what Paul is saying is all those who believe, whether Jew or non-Jew, get grafted into this new tree. Well, don't get excited about it, but I think it's exciting. Hallelujah. So Jesus came and preached peace. I mean, he's preaching to those outside, although he confined his ministry to those who are inside. You're getting what Paul is saying. Now, through him, we all have direct and personal access to the Father through the same Holy Spirit who lives in every believer in Jesus Christ, whether he's a Jew or not. Okay, so as a result, you are no longer foreigners outside of God's purpose. These people over here are foreigners outside of God's purpose. Right? You are not aliens. Aliens over there, children of God over here. Fellow citizens with all who belong to Christ. Your life together is built on the foundation of truth that has come to us through the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, the pivotal truth of the revelation God has given us through them. So through the prophets, then through the apostle, this deposit of truth has been given to the world so that the church, the new Israel of God, can really be formed. So as a result, you are no longer foreigners outside of God's purpose. You are not aliens, but children of God, fellow citizens with all who belong to Christ. Together you are God's people and members of his household. That's not bad, is it? Your life together is built on the foundation of the truth that has come to us through the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, the pivotal truth of the revelation God has given us through them. Everything hinges on this revelation of Jesus. In Christ Jesus, the whole building of living stones, whether believing Jews or non-Jews, is built to be a holy temple housing God's presence. So here we are living stones. Peter says the same thing, doesn't he, in his epistle. We are living stones in this temple that God is building. And a temple is a place that houses the presence of God. It is a place of worship. It is a place where God is glorified. It is a place where his will is to be achieved and accomplished. Yes, in him you are being built together to be those in whom God himself lives by his Spirit. So over here, we have the Spirit of God living in us to enable us to live in ways that please him, to enable us to fulfill those those plans and purposes that he prepared for us, not that we choose to do for ourselves. And we are separated from the uselessness and from the darkness that is over here. Somebody say hallelujah quickly. Now, actually, I think that's as much as you've got on the... You haven't got chapter 3 there, have you? No. But I'm just going to read on for a little bit more. For this is the reason why I, Paul, am happy to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ. It is for your sake. You have heard about the way God has given me such grace for your benefit, so that I could tell you of the hidden things that have been revealed to me. Now that I am writing in this way, you'll be able to understand the insight I have been given into these truths about Christ that remained hidden to those of other generations. That's why God called someone like Paul to bring this revelation, to explain it, to describe everything that God had done through Christ. He needed an intellectual at that point, somebody with great understanding. These things have now been revealed by the Spirit to those whom God has raised up as apostles and prophets. It seems strange that because of the gospel, those who are not Jews are heirs together with all Israel. See, God hasn't finished with his purposes with Israel, but that we are heirs together with Israel of all that God has promised. Both Jewish and non-Jewish believers in Christ form one body, and they share together in the promises given them by God through him. God called me to be a servant of this gospel and gave me his grace that he would work powerfully through me. I consider myself less than the very lowest of God's people, yet he gave me such grace. He enabled me to preach the gospel to the Gentile nations, telling them of the immense riches of Christ, and so on. Now, there's a sense in which you know what I've been telling you this morning. It's not like fresh revelation, but you know when John is writing to his first epistle, he says, I'm not telling you anything new. And then the next breath he says, yet I am telling you something new. It's as if he's saying, it's the same gospel, but I want to bring fresh light, fresh revelation on the truth that you already know. Now, why has God laid it on my heart to bring this word this morning? Because we know that the key word for us in this hour is obedience. But we know also that obedience comes out of love and faith. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Now, the more we understand our salvation, the more we understand what God has done for us in Christ, the more we understand what he has saved us from, the more thankful we will be. And the more thankful we are, the more we will walk in love for God. You see, the Lord knows exactly what he's doing when he says to us in his word, give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. Because you see, while you're doing that, you keep your eyes on the truth. You are ever thankful that God has saved you from that. And even if you're being attacked by the world, and you will be, because Jesus said they will treat you the same way that they treated me. So there's bound to be opposition, there's bound to be persecution. I'm working now on the annotated version of the truth, which is going to be not exactly a study Bible, but sort of, it's becoming a study Bible actually. But it's going to be different from other Bibles that are out there. One of the things that I'm doing is down the left-hand margin of the text in the annotated version, which is going to come out next March. Is a series of 50 headings, different subject headings. And then there's an index at the back, which will enable people to follow the themes of these 50 essential themes. You can just follow it through. And there'll be an index at the back to help you with that and also to show you which are the key revelations under each subject. So I'm sort of going through the text now. I've just finished the Gospels and I'm in Acts, of writing all these words down in the margin. It is proving to be a very interesting exercise. Because one of these headings that I decided to use beforehand was opposition to the gospel and so on. I have written opposition so many times that somehow we've got to have some subheadings to that. There is so much, this is just in the gospels, mind, I haven't got to the epistles yet. There is so much about opposition. You know another word that is constantly coming up is judgment. Now, I did mention to you that when I was translating it, I never realized how much there was about judgment in the New Testament and how little we hear any preaching about judgment. But it's there all the way through the gospel. I mean, there's a lot of other good positive things. Opposition and judgment doesn't sound too encouraging, does it? But what I'm saying is, you see, Jesus was constantly being opposed, and he warned his followers, you will be constantly opposed. Anybody who's been in ministry, you know that. You know that you're battling against opposition. Sometimes from without, sometimes from within. But there's opposition nearly all the time from someone. But praise God, over here we have the victory over the opposition that comes against us. What we want to avoid is the judgment. And there are many warnings. Warnings is another one. I didn't have that in my original list, but I've got it in the original list now. I've got it in the list now because Jesus is giving so many warnings to people. Oh boy, we better take heed of the warnings. There's lots of other lovely positive ones like grace and mercy and love and healing and victory. And but you see, there is this negative side. Why? Because we are communicating the word of God to a negative world. We're communicating the gospel within the environment of people still living under that spirit of this world that is utterly opposed to God, is opposed to the purposes of God, is opposed to the truth, and is opposed to those who belong to the truth. But we have the victory in Jesus. We have all those things under our feet because we live in the one who has everything under his feet. Therefore, we have the victory over all these things. But you see, we shouldn't be surprised at having opposition. This is what I'm saying. Because, you know, some people say, oh, I can't be in the will of God if I'm having opposition. Oh, boy, you won't be in the will of God if you don't have opposition. I mean, if you don't have opposition, you're over here. You're not over there.
That's true.
You've joined the forces of opposition. So, you know, there are bound to be things. And that opposition sometimes comes against your flesh.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes against the truth and you're walking in the truth. But you're bound to have these things. But praise God, we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are not going to be put down, neither are we going to be stopped from moving ahead in the purposes of God. Now, are you still with me just for a few more minutes? Look, we've got the roots of the tree here, right? And we've got Jesus the tree, and we've been grafted in. And this tree is God's purpose, see? And yes, there will come the time when the Jews will be added, you know. But now, here we are. We're part of God's purpose.
Right.
And this tree is growing up in the world.
Amen.
To impact the world.
Right.
And you see, each of these branches, if you like, is reaching out to touch the world in different ways, just according to whatever your particular ministry is. You are a branch of the vine. Mm-hmm. And therefore, because you're part of this tree, because you're vine tree, whatever, olive tree, vine, all in one here, because you're part of this, because you are in Christ, then you are going to communicate life to the world around you, wherever it is that God causes your branch to reach out. You're going to be fruitful. Why? Because you're drawing life from this tree, from this vine. And that life is going out and that life is producing fruit. Hallelujah. The important thing is that your branch does that in the way God has appointed for you, because that's the plan and purpose He prepared for you, not the plan and purpose that you have constructed for yourself. So this tree, God has planned the future growth and development of His tree. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees what this is going to look like when Jesus comes again. He sees all those who by then will have been grafted in. It's wonderful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. So we are sort of right in the middle of this great drama that God is working out in creation. And what Paul is saying is, keep the alien influences out. That is where you used to live. It's not where you live now. That has nothing to do with your life over here. So we say no to temptation. We say no to disobedience. We say no to all the ways in which the enemy would want to try to undermine and lead us into disobedience. Yes. So if we put it very, 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 very simply for people like me, obedience serves Jesus, disobedience serves the enemy. That sort of helps to put it in perspective, you know? And just helps us to understand how far-reaching the implications can be of our disobedience. Of course, when we are disobedient and we recognize it and we repent of it immediately, not too much damage is done. When we stubbornly persist in our own ways, and then we can cause a lot of damage. Because what we're allowing is this alien spirit of the world to have an influence in our lives. Whereas what Paul is saying is that spirit need have absolutely no influence in your life whatsoever now. Jesus Christ saved you out of that. So you see, there are other scriptures that say we don't love what the world loves. We don't crave for what the world craves. We're not going to judge the standards by which we live by the standards of the world around us. But we are living the life of God's kingdom because we want to actually see the standards of the world transformed. You see, God didn't change you. He transformed you. And there's all the difference in the world. Because you are not an improved version of the person you used to be. You are now a new creation. The old has gone. And the new doesn't have to be under any of the influences of the old. That's why, you see, the scripture says, don't go back into the past. What's the point of going back into all this rubbish and nonsense when you are under the power of the devil and not under the power of God? I mean, how can trying to sort out what happened there help you to live over there? Totally ridiculous. That actually you died. I said you die. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So you don't go back into what is died, and you don't allow any of the principles that were operating then when you were dead to operate in your life now that you're alive. So praise God, we are made one with Him and with one another. We belong to each other, and we're to encourage one another. We're to build one another up in love. We're to speak faith to one another. We're to speak faith over each other's lives. Hallelujah. Because you know we're on a mission. And the details of what God would do, the various kinds of ministries that He raises us up in, may be different, but the mission is the same. To take that gospel into the world, to save out of that darkness. To have as big an impact on the people over there as it's possible for us to have. But that will only be because we keep ourselves from the principles that operate over there. And we are living by the principles of God's kingdom over here. Have we got it? Praise God. Let's all stand then. Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank the Lord for what He has done for us. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yes! Porata parazata bakarasitoba. Yes! Lord, we thank You that You have separated us from what we used to be under. And You have made us one with Yourself. And we thank You that You have put everything under the feet of Jesus in whom we live. That You have given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, that we do not have to allow the spirit of this world to influence our lives in any way whatsoever. Thank You that Your kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We thank You that Jesus is our righteousness. We thank You that we have peace with God and peace with one another. We thank You that You have given us the fullness of joy. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Oh, praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Lord, we thank You that You have grafted us in. We thank You that we are part of the Israel of God. We thank You, Lord, that we are part of the covenant. We thank You, Lord, that we're in covenant with You. We're in covenant with one another. We thank You, Lord, that we inherit all the promises of the old and all the promises of the new. We thank You that we are the true children of Abraham. Because we inherit all the promises that were given to Him. And we bless You and we praise You and we exalt You. We magnify Your wonderful name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Porata parazata parazatuba. Paparazata pariazatuba karazitoba. Now, Lord, we thank You that You are the mighty warrior, that when opposition comes against us, You protect us. You have put a wall of protection all around us. We thank You that You have given us the shield of faith with which we can quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. We thank You that the devil can't cross over into where we now stand.
Thank you, Lord, that he is over on the other side. Hallelujah. All he can do. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That he is the God of this age, but he's not the God of the kingdom. We thank you that we serve the God of the kingdom, that we're part of the kingdom of God. And we bless you, we praise you, Jesus. We thank you that all he can do is from the other side fire those fiery darts. And we thank you that that shield of faith quenches every single one of those fiery darts. We praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Thank you that you have given us a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we can slay the enemy and the avenger with your Word. Your Word is truth. Your Word is life. Your Word is victory. Hallelujah. Thank you that we don't have to be afraid of any opposition, because you will carry us through as the mighty warrior. You pick us up and you take us forward. And thank you, Lord, that you have prepared good works for us to walk in. Thank you, Lord, that you brought us into your purposes, and you have prepared those works. You have prepared those ministries. Oh, Lord, you have planned it. You have planned it all. Thank you that we're living and working according to your plan, not our plans. And we just bless your wonderful name, Lord. We praise your wonderful name. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Poparaza taparia zitu disatuba karazituba. Baparaza taparia zatuba. Oh, come on, let's really bless the Lord now. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Poparaza taparia zato bakarazito ba. Poparaza taria lero bakarazito di sanduma. Thank you, Lord, that you've given our lives purpose and meaning. Thank you that you give us direction. Thank you that you're leading us forward. And Lord, when we go through difficult times, you take us through. You carry us through. You pick us up and you carry us through. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that the powers of the enemy cannot get their way. They cannot prevail, but your will shall prevail. Your spirit shall prevail, that your word will last forever. Hallelujah. 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 Porata paria zetorizato bakarazito ba. Oh, thank you, Lord. We get so excited when our eyes are on you and when our eyes are on the truth. Lord, by your grace, help us to keep our eyes on you, not on ourselves, not on the enemy, not on the problems, but on you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Purata paria zituba. Purata paria zatuba kara zituri sanduba. Purata paria zituba. Now, thank you, Lord, you've called us to be an obedient people. And we love obedience. Thank you, Lord, for this word, that obedience in the lives of your children is more beautiful to you than the whole of creation. And Lord, I want to be beautiful in your sight, because you look upon my life and see obedience to your will, to your purpose. And I thank you, Lord. I pray that for every one of us in this room, that you will behold us
as a beautiful people with beautiful feet to take the gospel of peace to others. Lord, may every branch of the vine that is here be faithful to you in fulfilling that particular plan and purpose you have for the way in which that branch is to reach out into the world to be fruitful for the glory and honor of your name. And Lord, those of us that are college now, we know that you're preparing us for those years and years of fruitfulness in the future. And we thank you for that, Lord. We give you glory, Lord, for whatever way in which you have caused us to be fruitful in the past. We give you all the glory. Lord, we realize that it's all the work of your hands. It's not what we have done. It's what you have done by your mercy, by your grace, through our lives. And we give you all the glory, Jesus. We give you all the glory. And thank you, Lord, that you say you prune the branches to make them more fruitful still. So we thank you. Greater fruitfulness lies ahead for every single one of us. Those of us that are already in ministry, those of us here this morning, we thank you, Lord, that greater fruitfulness lies ahead. That you don't believe in anticlimaxes, that you're taking us from glory to glory. Ever increasing glory. And we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, your word says we don't yet see everything under the feet of man, but we do see Jesus, and we do see everything already under his feet. So we thank you that in this nation, in other nations represented here, other nations to which you have sent us, we thank you, Lord, that we are going to see the outworking of your purpose in these nations. That the enemy cannot thwart your plans. He cannot stop your purposes. Thank you that you watch over your people and you watch over all those who are your covenant children to ensure the fulfillment of your plans and purposes for them. And we just give you all the glory for that, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we need a big song, don't we? A victory song. Hallelujah. It's got to be a victory song this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.